Hello and welcome back to Java with Sugar. My name is Steven Sugawar and I'm joined with my co-host, Peter McMullen. We're looking at the ARC number 5. This is Perspectives on Artificial Intelligence, Unveiling Its Impact and Business Transformation. Today's episode, we will explore trends and limitations within AI. I believe this topic is important for viewers to understand, you know, what's happening in AI in 2024 and beyond, and what really is AI and what is its limits and the perceived perspectives in terms of what it can do. Thank you for joining, and we're going to kick it right off. I think the hottest topic right now in AI is generative AI. It's everywhere. ChatGPT, what we call Sora, that's the multimodal AI that produces video from just text. Google just recently released their text-to-picture generative AI called Gemini. Peter, what do you think in terms of generative AI and its trends?
I mean, it's clearly the most accessible right now. It's very easy to use and for people to kind of initially interact with AI because it's all set up where it's simple requests, it's conversational requests, it's reactive to and responsive to things that go on in like a conversation with AI. So I think that generative AI is just a hot button topic right now because of how accessible it is and how easy it is. You know, the fact that you can just type ChatGPT or anything like that into your search bar and within seconds start up a conversation with AI and have it parse through all this data, I think is really incredible. And I think that as we start to see more and more of that, people start to become more aware of different aspects of AI and we're going to start to dig down into breaking it up into more and more sections. So we've got, you know, generative AI right now. And I think that people are starting to now look at the difference between, for example, a large language model, which is a lot of data server space that it requires high cost to maintain because it's just this massive amount, like this massive data lake that it needs to reference. And that means that a lot of the information can be kind of like too generic or general. And people are starting to see that, you know, small language models might be a better way to go or just a different way to go. And I think that we're starting to see that some of those are starting to be developed or focused on more where we have a small language model that has a specific set of data. So we're starting to generate AI tools for specific uses rather than general uses. And that allows for, you know, lower costs to maintain it. It also allows for more specific information that you're generating, that you're parsing through, everything like that. So just using that kind of like a fine-tooth comb versus a rake metaphor with respect to LLM versus SLM. But what do you think about that, Stephen? Have you heard anything about those kinds of language models and how maybe how to train them?
Yeah, no, very good points, Peter. I mean, I'm seeing definitely the same thing in a large language model versus a small language model. You know, I mean, I think we're like on ChatGPT or GPT version like 4 or 5. So it's already been in the works, LLMs, and they've been iterated on. There are some new technologies still emerging, like I mentioned, Sora. Text to video, I think that's a lot more trendy from a surface level that's still using LLM. But that's the issue with LLM. It takes a lot of data, like you mentioned. It's high data center and maintenance costs, like you mentioned as well. And I think, you know, what's been happening in the last couple of years, there is that shift to SLM. And I think a benefit of SLM is just overall optimization, improving performance and efficiency. When you're working on a large language model, there are a lot of pieces, right? And you need to have accurate data, pinpointing items, adding more to that logic. It gets quite complex and convoluted. An SLM, it allows you to build in layers, low rank adoption is what it's called, and they're trainable layers. So you can easily and quickly shift the outputs of your SLM with generative AI. On that same front, there's something called direct preference optimization. So far, LLMs are really using something called reinforcement, and it's learned through, you know, human interactions and reinforcing various data models and outputs. But with the direct preference optimization, it's a lot more lightweight and simpler to optimize a singular layer, a more subset set of language models or data sets. So I think that notion of evolution, it's going to be minor tweaks that are eventually going to lead to more major breakthroughs with the SLM model. And honestly, I think NVIDIA is doing this very well. They are releasing hardware that's going to run AI right off your laptop or your desktop, and you're going to be able to leverage the data on your machine to have AI working for you. So I think that's really a hot trend here in generative AI. I want to talk a little bit about assistants and virtual agents, Peter. What kind of trends are you seeing there?
I think that's a great segue, right? Having that kind of comment of AI that works for you, and then obviously assistants, virtual agents, chatbots, customer experience and support, all those things we're seeing. Initially, when we started using AI for things like that, it was very, a very small start. You could tell that you weren't talking to an actual person. There was specific paths that you kind of followed. And we're forced down, and that all makes sense, of course. But as things improve, as we start to, as you talked about, with train different models, and as the hardware that kind of runs the AI gets more specific or more advanced, we're going to start seeing things where those assistants, let's say on a personal level, are going to be able to accept inputs like, "Hey, I'd like for you to create a trip plan to Portugal for me. I'm going to be going between these days. I want to make sure I see this. I want to make sure I see that," and just spit out kind of an itinerary for you, recommendations of where to stay, what flights to take, the cost, anything like that, and be able to build in things. I think that's kind of a layer that we're very close to already, but things with that AI are looking to do now is more in the realm of being able to act for you. So be able to do things like make a reservation or contact other people or services for you, rather than just parsing large amounts of data and then providing you with the summary of what it's come up with, actually taking action based off of what you've requested. And I think that's where we're going to start to see those assistants or those virtual agents start to work towards and develop more and more. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. Right now, like you were mentioning before, it's quite conversational, right? Kind of feel like you're talking a little bit to a robot. And I think another trend that we're going to see with these assistants, these virtual agents, is the mixing of different types of AI, right? Today, you could go on ChatGPT and be like, "Hey, give me a recipe for roast chicken, right, with some vegetables," and it's going to give you a lovely recipe. But imagine you just pulled out your camera and you snapped a picture of your fridge. And then you ask AI, "Hey, can you make me a recipe based on the things that I have?" Now you're mixing, text, images, and any other media source, perhaps, and it's gonna spit out, "Hey, well, you got, some chicken and you got some pasta and some parmesan. Let's make you some chicken parm." I think that's really the next level, and I think it's gonna feel less so like a you ask something, you get something back, and it's gonna be much more interactive, right? And I think SLM, small language models, that's going to be key to this. Mixing the text and the multimodal and mixing various, protocols of AI out there today to provide more value and more of an intrinsic experience for what the user is looking for and how to best leverage AI for their needs. So yeah, these are definitely hot topic trends in AI, I think, this year, definitely, and I think beyond. It's the changing ecosystem. I'm sure some things are going to pop out probably at the end of this year that we haven't even thought of right now. But I want to get into, what do you feel are the limitations of AI, Peter?
Yeah, I think that's always an important thing to discuss, especially when we start off, with all of this high praise and this excitement about where things could be going and where things seem to be going. I think it's always important to remember that AI is still relatively young. It's still in its infancy, essentially, and we're still on a kind of public sector. still only seeing kind of a very narrow or a weak AI field so far. The stronger AI, the more general AI that is discussed at some points is still pretty much theoretical and is pretty several steps outside of anything that we can accomplish right now. I think that there is also AI discussions about like augmentation AI, and that's again not properly created yet. It's being worked on, and obviously maybe there's some secretive projects and things like that, but so far there's no actual products that have come out of that. I think it's really important to remember that while there are all these fantastic things that AI can do and that AI does, it's still very young. And so that means that it will make mistakes, it will focus on the wrong things. It's always important to remember that it still isn't better than a human at being human. And so when it comes to that human touch, obviously, having the AI create a recipe or a cocktail mix or whatever, you're always going to want a human to step in and go, okay, well, you might be putting a little bit too much of this. We don't want, 3 tablespoons of salt in this recipe kind of thing. So I think that's an important thing to remember when we're discussing the limitations of AI or just AI in general. But what about you?
Yeah, very well said. I mean, I think, you mentioned a lot of the technical limitations, right? Still young, still growing. It's going to make some mistakes. We can expect that with an early age technology. I think you covered that pretty well. I think, right now the limits are it's still really in the private sector, right? Governments aren't adopting it. Not many industries are adopting it. So the limits on funding and its evolution are also very restrictive, right? Until there is more adoption and comfort, which is growing in the market, of course. I think that's going to start to release that impediment, right? And the AI is going to evolve and progress much faster. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I mean, let's hope that the people in charge are always going to be, looking out for our best future. I think ethics in AI is quite important. But that's really it, right? There's technical limitations today, that is for sure. But I think in general, like the societal limitations are being lifted. The comfort is growing, and it's going to allow more business entities and just entities in this world, government, health, non-for-profit, whatever it is, to start incorporating these and start funding them to improve, their use within their exact domains. I think I'm going to call that with this episode. Again, thank you for your time, Peter. We really talked today about the trends in AI for 2024 and beyond, and the limitations of AI that we're seeing today. Next arc, we will be exploring Qlik software, field service, edge, end of life, right? Navigating that migration process. So tune in for that one. We want to thank everyone for your time. Please subscribe and follow our LinkedIn page. You'll get notifications and you can stay up to date with our podcast here at Java with Sugar. Thank you once again and have a wonderful day. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.